Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show. Today we are playing songs that make you want to drive really fast. The first song of part two is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's from the album L.A. Woman by The Doors, and the song is L.A. Woman by The Doors. It was released in 1971, and this was the last album with icon Jim Morrison on vocals, and in my opinion, this is their best album. The album has the classics Lover Madly and Riders on the Storm, which are great songs, but as I said earlier, L.A. Woman, I think, is my favorite one. The Doors, especially Jim Morrison, had a notorious reputation and were blacklisted on some radio stations, and they weren't getting too many concert gigs after Morrison's profanity and indecent exposure incident in Miami. But after the trial, the band got to work on their new album, and they played a raw, stripped-down return to their blues rock roots. And to give their songs more structure, they brought in Jerry Scheff to play bass and Mark Benno on guitar.
You know, Jerry Scheff also played with Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And actually, his son replaced Peter Cetera in the band Chicago, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, son Jason, yeah. And he had a good voice, too.
Yeah, talented family.
The lyrics of the song L.A. Woman is Morrison's loving tribute to his city of the angels. And as this music builds and becomes fast-paced, you can close your eyes and picture yourself in a convertible, at least I do, heading down Highway 1 in California with the wind blowing in your hair.
I don't have any hair.
No, well, don't wear a hat either. Yeah.
I have a little.
There. Well, the strand will fly in the air. And here's L.A. Woman.
I never loved you. You know they are a liar. Driving down your freeway, midnight alleys roam, cops in cars, the topless bars, never saw a woman.
Now I'm up to 65 miles an hour in the 45 mile an hour zone.
Well, you got another 5 to 10 miles of leeway depending on what state you're in.
Yeah, I think I'll be past 100. I think I'll see the police car behind me pretty soon. Mark, I don't know if you knew this, but you probably did since you are a rock historian. Morrison sang that song in the studio bathroom to get a fuller sound on the recording. I sound better there too. I don't know about you.
I'm not going to ask whether he was sitting or standing.
No, I think he was standing.
Okay. Well, a little bit more trivia. Morrison sings the words Mr. Mojo Rising, which is an anagram for his name. Mojo is a voodoo charm with magical powers, for those who don't know, and bluesmen used it to enhance their own particular abilities and powers. And, of course, as Muddy Waters sang, I got my mojo working. Well, our next pedal to the metal song is Travelin' Band by Creedence Clearwater Revival. And it was one side of a double A single. So, Jim, why don't you tell our listeners exactly what a double A side single was?
Well, when it was a double A side single, it means that both sides had the potential of being a big hit. Usually, they thought that the B side had weaker materials, but that wasn't always the case. And by the way, the popular song on the opposite side was of Travelin' Band was Who'll Stop the Rain, which was a very good song, too.
Yeah, it was also a hit song. The song Travelin' Band was written by John Fogerty about the band's hectic 1969 touring schedule. It peaked at number 2 on the Billboard charts and charted top 10 in Canada and the UK. It definitely had global appeal. Unfortunately, the courts determined that Travelin' Man sounded much too like Little Richard's Good Golly Miss Molly, and as a result, a portion of the song's royalties went to Little Richard. Actually, the song was Fogerty's way of kind of paying heartfelt tribute to Little Richard, and he wasn't really trying to copy Richard's song. But we'll let our listeners determine what the song sounds like. So here is Travelin' Band off the 1970 album Cosmos Factory.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride?
I just want to clarify that actually it was Little Richard's record company, Specialty Records, that brought the lawsuit, not Little Richard. The album's title, Cosmos Factory, had two meanings. Cosmo was the nickname of drummer Doug Clifford, and he referred to the warehouse where they were rehearsing as a factory because it felt like they were working in one. You see, John Fogerty was somewhat of a taskmaster who strove for perfection. All right, Jim, here's one for you. What movie with a cult following famously featured the song Travelin' Man? And here's a hint. Jeff Bridges starred as the Dude.
The Dude. Yeah, I love that movie. It was the Coen Brothers' Big Lebowski.
Yeah, a classic.
Classic.
You are listening to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM and 24/7 on demand from anywhere in the world.
Well, CCR brought me up to 85 miles per hour. This next song is going to put me over 100.
Uh-oh.
One of the best three-chord rock bands in the history of rock and roll, AC/DC, is up next. The band is AC/DC, as I said, and they make high-voltage rock and roll. It's great psych-up music, I got to tell you. In 1976, the band, led by the brothers Malcolm and Angus Young, drummer Phil Rudd and bassist Mark Evans, and singer Bon Scott, hit the American airwaves with their song TNT, and it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. But to be clear, their first two albums, High Voltage and TNT, were only released in Australia. Their first international album was also High Voltage, with some of the same songs from the two Aussie releases. In early 1980, after Bon Scott's death, the band brought in Brian Johnson to take over vocals, and by this time, the band added Cliff Williams on bass. Later in 1980, Time was set to record their epic album Back in Black, which is one of the best-selling albums of all time and one of the most influential to future heavy metal bands. With classics like Back in Black, Hell's Bells, and You Shook Me All Night Long, I think Shoot the Thrill really stands out. The band, and particularly Brian Johnson, knocks this one out of the park. Watch that foot on the accelerator, everybody.
Oh,
All right, now I'm in trouble. I see the cops in my rearview mirror. I'm over 100.
Oh, no, Jim.
But you know what? I'm flooring it. I'm going to get away from them.
All right, Jim. Well, we know the county sheriff's office listens to this show, so Jim is just kidding everyone.
No, I'm not. AC/DC, because of their great rock and roll, entered the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2003. And whatever you want to call their music, whether it's heavy metal or just plain old rock and roll, which is what they think of themselves, just like Motorhead, they are awfully a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, Jim, we're down to our last song, correct?
I believe so. Some band I never heard of,
yeah,
so I hope
know.
They're good.
And our next song moves along at a breakneck pace. The song is Rip This Joint, and it puts America on notice that the Rolling Stones are coming to your town to party down. It reflects the Rolling Stones' outlaw rock and roll attitude.
You know, it's kind of like Grand Funk Railroad's were an American band, do you think so?
I think so, yeah, exactly. Rip This Joint appeared on the Stones' 1972 masterpiece, Exile on Main Street. The album was recorded in the basement of Keith Richards' cavernous French chateau using the Stones' mobile recording studio. The music is ragged in a good way and pure rock and roll swagger, and the Stones' music never sounded sexier and more raucous. Particularly helped along with the decadence that was going on during these sessions, and we won't get into the details.
Yeah, but please don't. Family show.
Yes. Musically, Rip This Joint is driven by the guitars of Keith Richards and Mick Taylor, the rollicking piano of Nicky Hopkins, the up-tempo drumming of Charlie Watts, and the soulful sax of Bobby Keys. Let's listen to Rip This Joint off the Stones' 1972 double album Exile on Main Street, and listen for Jagger's mention of Pat and Richard Nixon. Right, and one more piece of trivia about this album. It was not one of Jagger's favorites. He hated the sound mix, his vocals were buried, and he said it sounded like it was put together by a bunch of drunks and druggies.
I think it was.
It was. The atmosphere surrounding this album was so loose that drug dealers from Marseille walked into the chateau where they were doing the sessions, and they left with several instruments belonging to Keith Richards, Bobby Keys, and Bill Wyman.
Oh.
What a way to end the show, huh?
What a way to end the show. So that's our show for today. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this show. But I'm not sure about you, Mark, but I'm hopping into my Corvette and I'm flooring it when I leave the studio.
Wait, Jim. I know you don't have a Corvette.
Okay, I'll drag you my Buick LeSabre, okay? Okay, I know I'm old.
That's the car that takes about 2 minutes to get just to 55.
Yeah, it does. It takes a little bit of while. The squirrel in the engine really has to get going. But I bet you drive 45 on the tri-state in the left lane with your blinkers on, don't
boy.
You?
Boy, not when I'm listening to today's songs. Who needs a Lamborghini with these songs?
Okay, we have to wrap it up. I hear our producer, Jim Eggers, is playing Layla in the background.
I hope you can join us every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. or Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Or you can listen to our recorded shows anytime on the station's website, huntleyradio.com.
And our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, is available on Amazon and also online at Target and Walmart.
Yes, it is. To view Jim's classic rock photography, visit his website at jimsomariaphoto.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Email the station if you have a particular music-related topic that you'd like us to address.
You've been listening to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, and on demand anywhere in the world, including Indianapolis, Indiana.
I get it. Home of the Indy 500.
That's right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Drive safe.